subject of my discourse is entitled, Do Married Men Make the Best Husbands? I feel that I'm in a position to converse intelligently on this subject because I happen to be a married man myself. Furthermore, I am really very, very happy. Why, I'm married now? Well, it's almost 4 years, and I'm so happy that really it doesn't seem like more than 12.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a very special Valentine's Day edition of Howler Radio. Hang on. Can we drop the volume for a minute? I'm about to tell a story about my parents. I don't think sexy is where I want to go with this. It's just probably not appropriate.
Okay, here we go.
That's my dad, Farouk.
I've hit record.
Yeah, let's definitely change up the music.
It's showing that it's recording. Yes.
Yeah, okay, that's kind of weird, but I can roll with it.
Okay, I'm nervous.
It's my stepmom, Lisa.
Okay, so give you some background?
Yeah, first I'm just going to introduce myself. My name is George Qureshi. I'm the editor of Howler Magazine, and I was back in my hometown last weekend. I'm from Tampa. I was staying with my parents, and I realized they have one of my favorite, I guess you could call it a romantic soccer story. Now, unlike most soccer love stories, this is not about devotion to a club or a player. It's not about overcoming the obstacles that life puts in your way to get to a big game. It's really a lot simpler than that. It's the story of a moment in two lives that happens at a soccer match.
Here is where the romance creeps in.
Okay. My name is Lisa Brock, and I was a single parent at the time who had met another single parent. And we shared 5 children, one of which was grown and out of the nest already. We weren't married, but we had talked about getting married in the future.
Let's see if we can't speed this up a little bit. Lisa was with my father, whose name is
Farouk Qureshi.
And in 1992, he got a new job.
I was the venue executive director for the World Cup that was played in Orlando.
In 1994.
It wasn't just played in Orlando, it was played all over the U.S.
I turned 12 that year, and I remember thinking this was such a cool job for my dad to have. At the same time, we didn't really get to see him quite as much as we were used to. For the first year, 1992, he was commuting between Tampa and Orlando, and then...
And in 93, 94, I lived in a hotel in Orlando because it was such a busy, busy time.
So while he was at World Cup doing everything over there, and it took a tremendous amount of his time, far more than a 9-to-5 job, I was going back and forth with the kids on the weekend.
There is one more piece of information you need for this story to make sense, and that is that Lisa worked in public relations, and during the tournament itself, she volunteered in the media center. I guess, I don't know, she was running the media center at the Citrus Bowl, and that's where she was during the last game played in Orlando. It was a round of 16 match between the Netherlands and the Republic of Ireland, and a guy that she worked with in the media center
came to me with a package, and it was just about going to be halftime, and he said, Lisa, I was told to deliver this package to Farouk by two dark-haired men, and I was told that it has to get to him immediately, and I don't have the security clearance to get up there.
It happened to be July 4th, 1994.
It was during a, quote, terrorism threat. The mayor of Orlando had ordered literally a military tank. And everybody was on high alert about the potential of terrorism. I said, what's in the package? And he said, I don't know. I was just told not to open it. And I said, well, I'm going to open it. And he said, no, it has to get straight to Farouk's hands. And he was acting very fidgety and nervous. And so in my mind, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, this might be a real threat, a potential threat or something. So I go running through the bowels of the stadium. I finally get up to the box where Farouk is.
Which was on the second level, right next to the press box, with a bird's eye view of the stadium.
He's talking and obviously very busy, but I'm very concerned. And in my mind, I'm thinking, what is this? Is it going to detonate a bomb? What is in here? So I get it to him, and he's sort of waving it around, talking to people, and I'm becoming you know, kind of anxious. And I am about to yell, would you please open that package? When I hear everyone laughing and pointing, and I look out to see what everyone's laughing and pointing about. And I see all these people looking back into the box where we were, and they were like raising their arms and kind of cheering. And I thought, good grief, what is it? And then the person who was kind of in charge of operations for the command center, his name was Eddie Austin, he goes, look. And when he said, look, for some reason, I thought that the scoreboard was blowing up, because I thought, oh my gosh, that's why these people are all agitated, and, you know, they're sticking up for America or something.
The message on the Jumbotron is, Lisa, will you marry me, Farouk? And when that appeared on the board, the crowd started laughing and cheering, and we had to tell Lisa to turn around to look at the board, because she was looking and waiting for me to open the envelope.
And then I said, Eddie, and he motioned again to look, and I looked and I saw this thing that said, will you marry me? But at first I didn't see the Lisa part, and I thought, I don't care about a proposal, we're about to get blown up.
She just looked at it and became speechless for probably one of the few times in her life.
And then everyone started laughing and said, Lisa. And I was like, what? And they were all pointing. And then I sort of realized it. And of course, Farouk wasn't even standing near me, because I was sort of at the bottom and he was kind of up in the box.
Then we said, look, we need a response, because we need to put it on the board.
Then everybody was screaming, so what's the answer? What's the answer? And of course, I said, yes.
The whole stadium just erupted in cheers. And then we kicked off the second half. I think that Lisa thought it was probably as romantic at that time as it could be.
There are certain moments in life that really are super personal and private. And for him to do such a public display was kind of, when I think about it, a little bit funny and definitely unusual. But I think next to the World Cup, I probably was, you know, the next most important thing to him outside of his children.
And for me, it happened in a World Cup game, a second round game on July the 4th, which is a significant holiday in the United States. It had all the elements of a romantic proposal for me, maybe less so for her.
There is nothing romantic about soccer, at least not that I can think of, other than a couple of players running around that, you know, are pretty handsome and in their prime. That's about it.
Okay. Oh, I'm hearing you. Okay. Yeah.
Anyway, we got married and we raised our children, and we live in Tampa, and we've had just really an amazing life.
I there's no way I could have had the life I've had without her, really.
Well, that is so sweet. It almost makes you forget he used a terrorism threat to propose. Anyway, thanks to my stepmom, Lisa, my dad, Farouk, for telling that story. You guys are the best. Our producer, Matthew Nelson, will be back soon with a couple of new episodes he's working on. In the meantime, go to howlermagazine.com. The new issue is out. We'd love to show it to you. You can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook at What a Howler. I'm George Qureshi. Thanks for listening.